The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
This was clearly cognitive decline. This was dementia, obviously. So we drew a conclusion that now sounds ridiculous, but it seemed logical at the time. This guy can't be the Democratic nominee. He can barely speak. How did he manage to get through the campaign? Well, it turned out, we learned later, his staff, supervised by Dr. Jill, his wife, was giving him pills before every public appearance, checking the time and at a certain hour giving him a dose of something. Now, that's not a guess. We're not making that up. We've spoken directly to someone who was there and saw it happen multiple times. Now, before taking the medication, this person said, Biden was, quote, like a small child. You could not communicate with him. He changed completely because he was on drugs, and he clearly still is on drugs. No one's pushing to know what those drugs are. We should know. But the point is, Joe Biden's dementia was perfectly obvious to everyone around him more than 3 years ago.
On drugs before every speech to conceal the dementia that everyone around him knew about 3 years ago. And of course, it's only getting worse. That's Tucker Carlson from his show on Friday evening. And it's astounding to me that after dropping that bombshell, really, there's a few Fox commentators that are now openly talking. Maria Bartiromo, we'll get to some of her clips in a moment, that are now openly talking about how that this man, who's illegitimate, by the way, the current occupant of the White House, he's not fit for office. And there's Tucker Carlson, the most popular voice on cable news, talking about how the illegitimate president is on drugs just to appear to be sane, just to appear to be all there. And then where are the Republicans all weekend? Or the conservative, the pundits saying, hang on a second, this is the United States of America. This is the world's lone superpower. This is one of many frauds. The election was a fraud. They covered up the laptop, the Biden crime family laptop. They engineered COVID. They used it as a pretext to send out tens of millions of ballots, rather. And now this. And it's okay, Democrats, they are abandoning ship, so many of them, but they're not sounding the alarm about this. They're just abandoning ship because they know they're about to be shellacked in the midterm elections. They know the whole country is turning against this fraudulent, illegitimate administration. Hispanics, blacks, men, women, young people. I'll play a clip from CNN. It's CNN, after all, that brings out these devastating poll numbers. So much to get to on today's show. We appreciate you joining our growing audience. You're listening, of course, to Stephen Fleury. This is the Trumpet Daily. We're kicking off yet another week of broadcasting here in our beautiful studio in North Edmond on our headquarters campus of Herbert W. Armstrong College. And, of course, our Hall of Administration is on campus, as well as the beautiful auditorium, Armstrong Auditorium. And as many of you know, we've got our summer educational program going on at this moment. Lots of young people around campus playing soccer or rugby or football or volleyball, basketball. And of course, always starting the day off with the Daily Forum. Joel Hilliker was speaking to them this morning following breakfast. Even before that, just to give you a little insight into the camp program, they have about 15 or 20 minutes of ignition, as we call it, calisthenics, some exercises to get them ready for the day, then the breakfast, then the spiritual food, and then they're off and running. Today they've got a clinic leading up to lunch where they got to choose which sport or activity they were going to participate in, and then this afternoon they're back with their dorm for assigned activities, and then more games tonight. We had a wonderful dance last evening in the John Amos Fieldhouse. So lots and lots of enjoyable activities to go around. You would think, though, and by the way, if Tucker, as he said there, if this is based on his sources, I mean, if those sources aren't legit, you would think this would open up the way for all kinds of defamation lawsuits. I mean, he's slandering the president of the United States. He's basically saying the president has dementia and that he's on pills, and we'd like to know what kind, but he's on pills. He's on drugs to make it seem like he's okay when he's not okay. And then together with that, of course, you have the disastrous trip to the Middle East where he's groveling before the tyrants in Saudi Arabia, begging for them to produce more oil. And then sound in front of the press, sounding like the tough guy that he isn't. We'll have some clips again that bring all of this to your attention if we have time. But again, where are the Republican voices saying, hang on a second, this is not just scandalous, it's dangerous, it's illegitimate, the American people were lied to, this was covered up by all the people surrounding Joe Biden. Barack Obama orchestrated the cover-up. Dr. Jill, she's in on it to this day. The campaign advisors, the chiefs of staff, all of these people, they know, and you're beginning to get insight into it, this world of this fake, illegitimate administration, even from the radical leftist news organizations like the New York Times from a couple weeks ago. And we've pointed out how the Times and the Washington Post, they too are abandoning ship. And their motivation, of course, is driven by politics. But Tucker there is telling you the truth. And there's no lawsuits that I know of that he's having to defend himself in. He just stated it. And as he said, he was indicating those things even 3 years ago. But now you see it's getting so bad. It's becoming so obvious. It seemed like a shocking statement or conclusion to make two, three years ago. But look at where we are today. You know, I was even, when I watched that clip over the weekend, I thought, well, why? You would think he would, Tucker, I mean, you would think he would reserve that revelation for a Monday or a Tuesday programming. Politicians often talk about the Friday afternoon dump. If you have a bombshell revelation and it's not flattering, well, then release it into the news cycle on Friday afternoon, right as everybody's about ready to leave for the weekend. And Tucker's show, of course, is Friday night. Maybe he'll come and revisit that subject again this week. Let's hope that he does, because not many people are talking about it. A lot of people see it, of course, because they watch him. A lot of people know. In some ways, this is not surprising to this audience, the ones watching this show. It's not surprising. None of that shocked me. But then I just stepped back from that clip for a moment and thought, okay, well, hang on a second. This is a sitting president of the United States who's not all there mentally. And this is one among many fake narratives that we're just supposed to accept. We're just supposed to go right along with it. Where is Mitch McConnell? Where is Kevin McCarthy? Where are the other prominent Republicans? You would think they would take a break for 1 second. They'd take a break of their criticism against Donald Trump, the bad orange man. You go back to Trump's presidency and think about all that it took for people to talk all over the place about how that he's not fit for office. And yet look at what's happening right now. Look at what's right in front of us. Look at what's on TV screens. It's like Tucker said, we're not insiders in the Democratic Party, obviously. We're just watching 90 seconds of news clips of Joe Biden trying to put together coherent sentences. We see it. You see it. Everyone sees it. And yet, what are these propagandists in the media? What are these propagandists in the D.C. swamp? What do they want for you to believe? They want for you to believe, just like with the election of November 2020, that everything is just perfect. Tucker had Miranda Devine. She's the New York Post columnist. And this is what she had to say on Friday's show, clip 5.
It was crystal clear to everybody back in early 2020 in Iowa and New Hampshire, where Joe Biden was just woeful. He needed to cart around a teleprompter to the smallest town halls with the most, you know, obvious stump speech that every other candidate could recite in their sleep. I watched as the sort of, you look around the audience and it just twigged to people that this guy was not all there, that there was a screw loose. He was really the special needs candidate. He was ignored. No one showed up to any of his events. It was an open secret in the media because the Democratic Party had just decided, and Barack Obama as well, that Joe Biden had to be installed to beat Donald Trump because he was the only one who had a sort of a moderate image. And he had a very carefully cultivated image that was a myth, that he was this unifying force, that he was an old Washington professional, a great foreign affairs expert, and a kind man, a family man, a decent man, you know, a working class Joe, and full of empathy, which the country needed after COVID. None of that was true. And of course, the media now sees that. They don't want to be on the losing side. And Joe Biden is surplus to requirements now. They don't need him. They can discard him and they'll be brutal.
They don't need him now, so they can discard him. And we've talked for weeks, months, in fact, about how that they'll use him. Obama's people will use him for as long as they can to fulfill their agenda of radically transforming the United States of America. And now, as she brings out there, so many of them are abandoning ship. But she says that everyone knew, it was an open secret, even the media. They understood that he wasn't all there, that he was the special needs candidate. He was in the basement, as we've said so many times before. And the few times that he would come out to speak to people, nobody would show up. That was just a couple years ago. And look at what this fake, fraudulent administration, headed up by the puppet master, Barack Obama, look at what it's done. Look at the great damage it's done to the United States of America. I mean, we're just surrounded by so much fakery and phoniness. It's everywhere. COVID was engineered. COVID was engineered. That gave way to the tens of millions of ballots, mail-in ballots. All of those mules stuffing the ballot boxes, not just on election night, but on through the rest of the week. Just get enough votes to get the bad orange man out of office. The election steal, what led up to that? Covering up the Biden crime family laptop. Remember all those security and intelligence officials? I think more than 50 of them worked for Barack Obama, George Bush, all these famous deep staters saying this is Russian disinformation. There's nothing on that laptop that's actually Hunter's. And now look, in America Under Attack, you can't look at these events without thinking about this book that we have plugged over and over again. It's at our website now, thetrumpet.com. Print version will be here in a couple weeks. My father writes here, as a number of reports, statistical analyses, documentaries, and other sources have established, the 2020 presidential election was plagued by voter fraud. It was organized. It was extensive. It was extreme, defiant, and flagrant. And there was someone behind it who had the power, motive, and gall to commit the greatest electoral steal in history. It was not Joe Biden, but he knows exactly who it was. Joe Biden, remember when he said the quiet part out loud, talked about the most extensive voter fraud organization set up ever before in history, in American history. What was worth committing such treason for? The main goal was to restore to power the political machinery of Barack Obama. That was the main goal. Barack Obama was the one that decided during that Democrat primary, okay, it's got to be Biden. And he despises Biden. He mocks and ridicules Biden. He did it when Biden was his vice president. But he knew that Biden was perceived to be, as Miranda Devine said there, he was the working class man. He was Gentle Joe. He was Uncle Joe. A good man. A decent man. Finally, an adult can return to the White House. This is what they all said. Tucker played a montage showing all of these talking heads that lied through their teeth. They just lied. They knew what was happening. They're all in on it. They're all in on it. America is under attack, as our title brings out. It's a perfect title. They steal the election, and then they've got to create this new narrative a month or two later, the fake insurrection, to try to cover up the election steal. And even before that, 4 years before that, Jim Comey and others unleashed this 3 years long Mueller investigation to try to cover up the attempted coup from 2016. So many fake narratives, so much fake news, so much deception, so many lies. Who's behind it? The Bible speaks of the father of lies in John 8 and verse 44. It says that the whole world is deceived. And so you've got a man in the White House suffering from dementia. It's sad. He was shaking the imaginary hand of someone again on Friday, just like he did back in April. It's sad and pathetic to watch, and yet we're all watching it. You've just got to open your eyes for 90 seconds of footage, 90 seconds or so, and see with your own eyes what's actually happening. And know, of course, there's a spiritual dimension behind all of this that Tucker and Miranda and the rest don't really understand. It's an attack from the devil. I'll give you some quotes from chapter 6 of this book here in just a bit. And talk for a moment about the tremendous power of Satan the devil. We don't hear enough about that today. Here again is Tucker from Friday, clip 2.
We're completely wrong. We're wrong because we underestimated the cynicism and the recklessness of the Democratic Party and the media who serve them. They will say literally anything, no matter how implausible or immoral, if it brings them more power. They knew exactly how incapacitated Joe Biden was. They lied about it. And the disaster we're living with today is a direct result of their lying.
They'll say or do anything to amass power. That makes you think of the comment in the Saving America article. This goes back to May of 2018. This is 4 years old now. From the Trumpet magazine, Tomorrow's News Today. If you haven't subscribed to it, by the way, there's a free 1 year subscription just waiting for you to call our operators, 1-866-930-3024, and request the Trumpet magazine. My father said 4 years ago, we're getting a hard look at just what the radical left is willing to do in order to seize power and to stay in power. As I say, how could any of this, if you're a regular viewer of this program or you read from the Trumpet magazine, none of this is surprising. None of this is shocking. I mean, this is something my father wrote right in the midst of the Trump years, when God was pushing back against this radical attack on the United States of America, when God was intervening temporarily to save America. And only He can do it again. We're getting a hard look, my father wrote, at just what the radical left is willing to do in order to seize power and to stay in power. They are willing to do anything, we wrote, 2 years before the COVID. They engineered a pandemic of all things. They created a virus. And together with the CCP in China, unleashed it on the world. And it's still causing great damage. But that's okay, because it got the bad orange man out of office. And that was the primary objective. They stole the election. They've tried to cover up the steal. They timed the Supreme Court leak to try to blot out news about 2,000 mules, and on it goes. They will do anything to seize power, to hold on to power, to stay in power. That's because the devil and his power is behind them. It says here, they have no respect for the rule of law. They believe they are above the law. That's true. I'll come to Dr. Birx here, maybe in the second segment if we have time. Here she's got her big tell-all book. She's the one that works. She was shoulder to shoulder with Tony Fauci. And she's in her book writing about, she's talking about her time in service to Donald Trump. And she speaks of her work for the President of the United States using terminology like subterfuge and sleight of hand. And, well, we had to deceive him, and, well, we tucked it in this part of the report because we figured his people, they wouldn't read down that far into it. We just put our, look, we're deep state people. I know nobody voted us into this position, but, hey, we know more than Donald Trump. So she's there in her book bragging about insurrection. She's an insurrectionist, a proud one at that. It's unbelievable what these people have not only gotten away with, but they're bragging about. It's kind of like Comey when he said, well, I sent the agents over to the White House to trap General Flynn. They were just moving in. They were a little disorganized. They're so dumb. These people working with Trump, they were so dumb, so stupid. We were able to deceive them. We were able to entrap Mike Flynn. And then the crowd chuckles. And then the pundit laughs along. It's all fun and games when you're committing treason against a sitting president of the United States of America. How about that for Isaiah 5? They create a fake insurrection, January 6, even as they write their books saying, yes, that's right, we undermined everything about that office, the president of the United States, as long as Donald Trump was in there. Because, hey, we're above the law. The rules and the guidelines, the Constitution, it doesn't apply to us. Certainly not when you've got someone like Donald Trump in there who sends out angry tweets. We got to get him out. We don't like him. One of the points my father makes in chapter 6 is they're afraid, they're terrified of Barack Obama, and they despise and they hate Donald Trump. So where are the Republicans? Where's the book, the tell-all book? There certainly have been some books since Obama ended his second term back in 2017. People, just outside observers, that have said this man caused a lot of damage. But where were the insiders, you know, that actually worked with Barack Obama, that then came out with the tell-all book saying, I actively worked against the Obama administration while he was in charge, and I'm proud of it. How many books like that have there been? Answer, zero. But now here comes Dr. Birx. Yeah, this is what I got away with. And Mike Pence signed off on it. No big deal. No helper. That's what 2 Kings 14 says. There's just no help. Did I play clip 2? I think that I did. It says here, they have no respect for the rule of law. As I prove in America Under Attack, Satan is marshaling every tool and weapon he can to wreck this nation. This is what my father wrote in 2018. This is before Joe Bama, before the dementia candidate. This is before COVID. This is before all the lockdowns. This is before anyone knew who Dr. Birx was, Tony Fauci. They'll do anything to take down the United States. Listen to what my father says here. Most Republicans don't realize what they are dealing with. People who are absolutely committed to destroying the government of this land. Republicans don't realize it. So, you know, Tucker comes along and says he's on pills and is every time he gets up to speak publicly. And they just yawn, I guess, Friday night and then Saturday night, Saturday, Sunday, all through the weekend. It doesn't even faze them. It doesn't even faze them. Maybe there's some Republicans who are gleeful behind closed doors at the fact that the Democrats are now eating their own. But where are the Americans, the patriots, concerned about leaving aside their career ambitions, whatever it might could be? They're just patriots who want us to obey the laws of the land, who want to defend the institutions of the United States, and who want to speak out against an attack that resulted in all these things I'm listing off here, all this fakery and phoniness. Listen again to Tucker from Friday night, clip 3.
So Joe Biden's senile. Everybody knows it. Do we win a prize now? No. We watch our country degrade. So you have to ask, who did this to the rest of us? Who's responsible for putting this guy in a position where he was elected president? Well, we could start the list of the culpable with Joe Biden's 2020 campaign manager, Jen O'Malley Dillon. She did this. Where is she now? Well, she's now deputy chief of staff in the White House. She knew exactly how senile Joe Biden was. Susan Rice knew well, too. Of course she did. Susan Rice now runs America's domestic policy out of the White House. Ron Klain knew perfectly well that Joe Biden was not fit to be president, that he has dementia. Ron Klain was elevated to White House chief of staff. And, of course, Dr. Jill, his wife, was perfectly aware. Members of Joe Biden's own family knew perfectly well and told other people about it. We've reported that before, and it's true. And above all, Barack Obama. Barack Obama knew perfectly well that Joe Biden was senile. Barack Obama spent 8 years making fun of Joe Biden and degrading Joe Biden because Joe Biden has no dignity. He put up with it. But Obama knew that Biden wasn't fit to be president. And that matters because Obama is and has always been the person actually running the Democratic Party.
There you go. That's Antiochus. And that's what you see through and through. And I, from one cycle to the next, you come into SEP, by the way, and think that, okay, we're right up to date with Trumpet Daily coverage of the news. We can devote a lot of time to the youths, which we certainly do. It's not like that takes a back seat. But then you think, just when you feel like you've come to understand the depths of the devil, like you're at an absolute low point of his kind of lawless criminal behavior, his kind of demonic power and influence that he has over our nation and the nations around this world, then you get to another just stunning, stunning bombshell of a revelation. Like Revelation 2 and verse 24 says, I mean, to just get to understand the depths of the devil. As I said last week, you just see his fingerprints everywhere. In America Under Attack, my father talks about how that Joe Biden is the perfect front man. He got into office illegitimately. He, among other things, orchestrates this disastrous pullout of Afghanistan. That was back in August of last year. And of course, Barack Obama is behind the scenes letting Joe Biden take the hit for that disaster, even as he continues on with his radical transformation of the United States. There was a former Obama economic advisor just over the weekend talking about how, yeah, we've got to completely get rid of fossil fuel reliance and just go green. They're continuing on with the fundamental transformation. As my father says in AUA, Obama was free to continue his work. He's talking about that Afghanistan withdrawal and how that he just continues right on. Even as Joe Biden just stumbles from one disaster to the next. Listen to Maria Bartiromo yesterday, picking up on, again, some of the same themes that Tucker brought out on Friday evening on Fox News. This is clip 6.
Congressman, there were signs that Joe Biden was declining during the 2020 campaign. I mean, let's face it. He stayed in the basement the whole time during the campaign. So who knew what when? Are they hiding this and feeding him drugs to allow him to function? I know he goes home to Delaware a lot more than any other president. So I guess my question is, what did Obama know? What did Jill Biden know? And who's running the White House right now? And are they covering up for these mental issues?
With regards to the Obama administration and who should have done something about it, they saw him every day, and they stayed in close contact with him, I'm sure, after the Obama-Biden administration was over. Somebody should have done something. But Maria, I think that they were so blinded by the fact that if Joe Biden came into office, they were going to be able to populate the entire West Wing with Obama folks, and that actually happened. Initially, there were a ton of Obama folks in the West Wing, and we have Susan Rice running domestic policy right now. So I think that they thought that the risk was worth it to get their people back into the West Wing, and they just ignored the fact that this man had some serious cognitive issues, and now they're going to have to answer why, because it's getting worse. Wow. And it's unsustainable at this particular point.
See, now we're at a point where it's not sustainable anymore. He's over there in Saudi Arabia fist bumping the crown prince, I think it is, even after he said during the campaign, yeah, that's a pariah state, I'm going to be hard on Saudi Arabia. Oh, yes, I'm tough. Tough Talk Joe. I mean, he wasn't so tough over the weekend. He was humiliated. Here, Iran comes out with this announcement while Joe Biden is in the Middle East saying, yeah, we've got all that we need to build a bomb. We've got everything that we need, and no wonder people in the region are looking to Iran, the king of the south, or Saudi Arabia, or Russia, or China. 2 seconds ago, we were talking about how Russia was just, their economy was collapsing. They were losing in Ukraine. Well, now they're having bumper crops. They're getting in all this revenue for oil. China's benefiting too. I gave you that program a week or two ago about who benefited. Who benefits from COVID? Well, the CCP certainly does. It's pretty amazing to see what is happening in the world today, a world of chaos and confusion, or to use the Bible language, a world that's perilously close to great tribulation, a dangerous world. March of 2021, this is over a year ago. Now Mr. Obama has command again. That's a Trumpet magazine. Tomorrow's news today. Now Mr. Obama's in control again. He has tremendous control in this new administration. That's what you just heard there from Ronnie Jackson. They knew that it was worth the risk as long as they could get all the Obama people back in the White House. And that's what happened. That is exactly what happened. And that's exactly what we said years ago. Tomorrow's news today says here, I don't think Mr. Biden has a passion to blot out Israel. It's this end time Antiochus we have to be concerned about, because he is motivated by the devil. This is what we are dealing with. Republicans can try to get the radical left to love them, but they will get nothing but hatred and lies. That's all that you'll get from the devil. That is his way of life. Hatred and lies, you see. That's all you're going to get from the devil. So when you see these Republicans try to cozy up to these radical communists, or to just kind of, you know, zip the lips when Tucker says, he's on pills. We've got a source in the White House. This is a credible source who says he's on pills to conceal the dementia. And then they go silent. Really? There's not one of them that has enough courage to speak up and say, this is treason. This is outrageous. I mean, they are being exposed, these communists. And of course, that's discussed in America Under Attack too. But there's not nearly enough voices of courage and strength and boldness. Not like that there should be. My father writes in AUA, it provides spiritual perspective on the presidency of Joe Biden, who is effectively a front man for a third Obama term. So that's what we're living through right now. A third Obama term. Even that's unconstitutional. Listen to this from another commentator on Fox. Again, most of these are from Fox News. The rest in the news media, they're just, they are abandoning ship. because, well, they say he's old or he has too many gaffes or, you know, he'll be in his 80s by the time the second. They're kind of, you know, they're kind of just beating around the bush a little bit. They won't come right out and say it. But in some ways, what the New York Times said 2 weeks ago, it's even stronger than some of the most strong Republicans in Congress. What does that say? What does that say about the weakness in the Republican Party? This was Newt Gingrich over the weekend, clip 8.
I think this is the worst president since Buchanan in the 1850s who led into a civil war. I mean, Joe Biden, if he had come out of the basement and we had realized how cognitively impaired he was, I think he would never have been elected president. If he'd been honest about how radical he was going to be, he'd never have been elected president. If he simply told the American people, you know, I'm not willing to go to Texas, but I'm going to go to Saudi Arabia. I'm not going to willing to deal with Western Pennsylvania energy, but I'm going to beg Iran, that people would have thought he was crazy. This is the most anti-American energy president in history. And you can't quite understand why he is so deeply opposed to his own country.
Well, we can understand why he's opposed to his own country because of Barack Obama, because of the man behind him, because of the Antiochus administration. This is an anti-American. And here again, Gingrich alludes to the cover-up. Yet another great cover-up. Had Americans known that he was so cognitively impaired, he wouldn't have been elected president of the United States. One of the many cover-ups, one of the many lies that they told, and they continue to tell them. In America Under Attack, it says here, the disaster, well, let me back up. Our people were given birthright blessings because of the great Abraham, the father of the faithful, who obeyed and was willing to sacrifice even his own son for God. Sadly, they have turned their backs on God and are following the devil. It says here, the disaster spoken of in Amos 7, 1 and 2 is the first presidential term of Barack Obama. Verse 4 describes his second presidential term. And now you can add to that his third term, in which he is the puppet master of the Biden regime. He's the puppet master. You know, it's funny, even Maria Bartiromo alluded to this clip that we've played so many times on this show. Evidently, she played it recently. And here she is describing it, and then we'll just give you the reminder of that clip, that infamous clip from Barack Obama himself. This is clip 7.
In fact, there's a famous interview, which we ran a couple of weeks ago. We'll run it again in the coming weeks. It's a President Obama talking to Stephen Colbert, and he's saying, what I would love the most is if I'm in my basement with my sweats on, and I'm just directing whoever is there, and they can carry out my orders. Basically, that's exactly what he did.
People would ask me, knowing what you know now, do you wish like you had a third term? And I used to say, you know what, if I could make an arrangement where I had a stand-in, a front man or front woman, and they had an earpiece in, and I was just in my basement in my sweats looking through the stuff, and then I could sort of deliver the lines, but somebody else was doing all the talking and ceremony, I'd be fine with that because I found the work fascinating.
Yeah, he's fascinated by the fundamental transformation of the United States. We now know what that means. Maybe we didn't know it at the time he made that statement in 2008. But now we know. He stayed in Washington, D.C. after his second term ended. He orchestrated the cover-up of the coup attempt using Comey and Brennan and Clapper and those guys. Strzok. All these people that they brag like Dr. Birx brags. Yeah. Subterfuge. Who uses that? Pick any job you've ever worked at in your life, and unless you're a hardened criminal inspired by the devil, you're not going to look back on your work history and say, yeah, pretty much I used the sleight of hand to try to get my way, to try to ramrod my way through, and you know, the boss was too stupid to even know what I was doing. Dr. Birx did it. She's the most recent example. Comey's done it. They all did it. If you come out and say you're guilty of insurrection, that guarantees you a job at MSNBC. So this is what we're dealing with. This is what God is dealing with. In America Under Attack, it says Obama has too much power and God is going to have to do something. He has already started to act. God will not let him blot out the name of Israel. So we know there's coming a point where God is going to squash this communist attack. There's other prophecies that have to unfold, as we know, just before the return of Jesus Christ to this earth. God is already taking steps. He's already intervening. Listen again to Tucker from Friday night, clip 4.
But now the game is over for Joe Biden. As Mark McKinnon said, he's just too white. So suddenly our media is admitting what we noted 3 years ago and that everyone knew, that this was a scam. They are living with the mess they created.
It's a good way to put it. Suddenly the media are admitting some of the things that Tucker said years ago that we've talked about over the years. They're living with this mess that they helped to create. This article from the New York Times, we referred to this a week or two on the show. It's from Peter Baker, July 9th. It says, President Biden has said he plans to run for a second term, but his age has become an uncomfortable issue for him and his party. It says here, but they acknowledged... further on in the article, it says they acknowledge Mr. Biden looks older than just a few years ago, a political liability that cannot be solved by traditional White House stratagems like staff shakeups and so on. Further on, is not what it was, his energy level. It's not what it was. And some aides quietly watch out for him. He often shuffles when he walks and aides worry. He will trip on a wire. He stumbles over words during public events, and they hold their breath to see if he makes it to the end without a gaffe. This is the New York Times. This is stronger criticism of this fake, illegitimate administration than you'll get from Kevin McCarthy or Mitch McConnell. The New York Times says here, although White House officials insist that they make no special accommodations the way Reagan's team did. Privately, they try to guard Mr. Biden's weekends in Delaware as much as possible. He's generally a 5 or 5.5 day a week president. A 5 day a week president. He doesn't work at nights, the article brings out. You remember how much they just ridiculed and made fun of Donald Trump? I'll leave it to you to decide who worked harder. A 5 day a week president, says here, he stays out of public view at night and has taken part in fewer than half as many news conferences or interviews as recent predecessors. So here's the New York Times finally telling the quiet part out loud. This is why. There were other articles, I believe it might have been the Washington Post, quoting that Democrat operative who said that the White House right now was rudderless. And then you look at this disastrous trip to Saudi Arabia. It's like Newt Gingrich said, who could have ever imagined a U.S. president bowing before the Saudis, begging for them to drill oil, even as he closes pipelines in Texas and in the central part of the United States, even as he prevents American companies from drilling on our own land. America Under Attack. Listen to CNN. Play this Saudi Arabia montage first. This is clip 10.
The CIA has concluded that the leader of Saudi Arabia directed the murder of U.S.-based journalist Jamal Khashoggi. The State Department also says the Saudi government is responsible for executing nonviolent offenders and for torture. President Trump has not punished senior Saudi leaders. Would you?
Yes. And I said it at the time, Khashoggi was in fact murdered and dismembered, and I believe in the order of the Crown Prince. And I would make it very clear, we were not going to in fact sell more weapons to them. We were going to in fact make them pay the price and make them in fact the pariah that they are. So they're going in and murdering children and they're murdering innocent people. And so they have to be held accountable.
Crown Prince and all the ministers from the from energy minister to the sports minister all the way down the line, got the chance to talk to basically the entire Saudi government. And thanks to many months of quiet diplomacy by the staff, we've accomplished some significant business.
A lot of fire for your fist bump with the crown prince. Why? I just wanted to give you a chance to respond to that. But also, how can you be sure that another incident, another murder like Jamal Khashoggi's won't happen again?
God love you. What a silly question. How could I possibly be sure of any of that?
Mr. President, do you regret calling the Saudis a pariah?
I don't regret anything I said.
Do you feel that way, though, Mr. President?
I just answered your question. Do I regret it? I don't regret anything that I said.
So, that's just from the last few years. The tough talk during the debates. And then there he is heading over to Saudi Arabia. And Saudi Arabia, of course, just laughing at him, mocking him behind closed doors. Sorry, can't drill for any more oil. You got to figure your way out of this tough spot. Even as he makes it more and more difficult. And here the oil, by the way, that we get from Saudi Arabia and from other places, it's dirty oil compared to what is produced in the United States because of our many regulations. So it's even a cleaner production here in the U.S., but we can't have that. Because the goal, just like the Obama official said over the weekend, the goal is to completely dismantle the fossil fuel industry. And go green, baby. We've got to go green. This is another disastrous trip. Here's CNN talking about his disastrous poll numbers, clip 11.
I want your take on not just one poll number, not just two, but a bunch of poll numbers out in the last few weeks that look really tough for the administration. 85% of adults in this AP poll say the U.S. is headed in the wrong direction. Then this New York Times Siena College poll, 64% of Democrats say they would prefer a new standard bearer in 2024, not Biden. And 1% of 18 to 29-year-olds in that poll, just 1%, said that they approve of how Biden is handling his job. You cannot make those numbers look pretty.
Mr. President, what's your message to Democrats who don't want you to run again?
They want me to run.
Two-thirds say they
read
don't.
Read the poll. Read the polls, Jack. You guys are all the same. That poll showed that 92% of Democrats, if I ran, would vote for me.
A majority of Democrats say they don't want you to run again in 2024. 92%
said if I did, they'd vote for me.
There he is trying to that. Of course, we played for you last week as well, but there he is trying to make those numbers look pretty. But as the CNN commentator says, you can't. What was it? 1% of 18 to 29-year-olds, 1% say that they approve of how Joe Biden is handling his job. How's that even possible? How could it even be that low? Just 1% of young people? If you're the Democrat, the leading Democrat, and you can't get more than 1% support from the youth, to say nothing of Hispanics, blacks, and so on, the whole, forget about Joe Biden, the whole party is being dismantled. This is why so many of them are jumping ship. This is why some are even suggesting that Joe Biden may not make it to the end of this first term. Forget about a second term. But what about this first term? This is Ronnie Jackson again on Maria Bartiromo's show, clip 9.
His party's already slowly starting to abandon him and run away from him because of his polling and because of his cognitive issues and the embarrassment that he's become for the party. And I think that they will look for opportunity to throw him under the bus in the next few years and try to get rid of him, because I know that I think that they also know he cannot make it to the end of this term in 2024.
Wow, that's a pretty bold prediction. We'll see what happens. Of course, you know what we have to say in America Under Attack and Great Again and other publications like that. It's going to be interesting to watch for sure. I've got a few minutes. Let me just refer you to this Dr. Burke's book that I mentioned earlier on. This is at Brownstone. It says here, this is someone who read the book. I haven't read the book, but this is Brownstone's take. It says, I gained the distinct impression of two separate regimes in charge. Trump's versus the administrative state he could not control. So this is something that we talk about at length, particularly in Chapter 6 of America Under Attack. The riding over the years over at Conservative Treehouse, where he's exposed this administrative state, these unelected bureaucrats who just do whatever they want to do. You saw it in impeachment one. You saw it in impeachment two. You see it at present in this January 6th committee. I mean, those are Democrats, obviously, that have been elected. They're not bureaucrats, but they're radical communists. They're all radical communists. And Nancy Pelosi didn't want any Republicans in the committee because they just want the one side of this story told. The fraudulent side. They want the hoax. They've got to have that narrative there to cover up the steal, of course. It says here, Birx admits that she was a major part of the reason due to her sneaky alteration of weekly reports to the states. Now, listen to this, because this is, I had to ask Sam this morning, are these actual quotes from her book? As far as we can tell, they are. They're indented at this Brownstone website. We've seen them at other blogs as well. This is Birx writing about her time working for Donald Trump. Okay. It says here, after the heavily edited documents were returned to me, I'd reinsert what they had objected to, but place it in those different locations. I'd also reorder and restructure the bullet points so the most salient, the points the administration objected to most, no longer fell at the start of the bullet points. I shared these strategies with the three members of the data team. Also writing these reports, our Saturday and Sunday report writing routine soon became write, submit, revise, hide, and resubmit. See, we just put it right back in. If the White House edited it and said, no, take that out, we don't want this, get rid of this, they just rewrote it and resubmitted it. And they just tucked it a little bit further down in the document so that hopefully no one would go and read the revised copy. They just assumed that Dr. Birx was actually there to carry out the will, the wishes, the agenda of Donald Trump, the President of the United States. It says here, fortunately, this strategic sleight of hand worked. This is Dr. Birx. This is not me. I'm not commentating on it. Fortunately, this sleight of hand worked. That they never seemed to catch this subterfuge left me to conclude that either they read the finished reports too quickly or they neglected to do the word search that would have revealed the language to which they objected. In other words, they were just too dumb. They were too lazy. It's like Comey said about going into the White House just a few days into the administration to entrap Mike Flynn. I just sent a couple agents. She says here, in slipping these changes past the gatekeepers and continuing to inform the governors of the need for the big three mitigations, masks, sentinel testing, and limits on indoor gatherings, I felt confident I was giving the states permission to escalate public health mitigation with the fall and winter coming. See, we've got to ramp it up. We've got to escalate all these lockdown measures. I mean, we're getting close to the fall, which also happens to be the presidential election. She says here, this wasn't the only bit of subterfuge I had to engage in. Immediately after the Atlas-influenced revised CDC testing guidance went up in late August, she I don't have time, I'm running out, but she uses the word surreptitiously. She surreptitiously posted it. She says later, we weren't being transparent with the powers that be in the White House. She has this in her book. Yeah, we weren't being transparent. We were just lying. Fortunately, they didn't detect the sleight of hand. They brag. They brag about the lies. They brag about the deceit. They brag about getting away with it. And they're never, ever, ever held to account. She describes her work for the President of the United States with words like subterfuge, subvert, surreptitious, sleight of hand, and transgressions, and then concludes by saying that, well, Donald Trump and his people were just too dumb and lazy to ever find out what we were actually getting away with. That's all we, unfortunately, that's all that we have time for on today's show. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. Email the show if you like, td@thetrumpet.com. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.